Finley mouthed the word no, but his reaction was lost in the applause from the crowd, which this time seemed louder and more genuine. Evangeline was suddenly standing before the Esper leaders, head respectfully bowed. She turned around to acknowledge the applause from the crowd, and her eyes met Finley's, as though she'd expected him to be right where he was. She looked away, but there was no guilt or weakness in her cold, composed face. Finley started to push his way forward through the crowd. Skye tried to follow him, but lacked the strength to force his way past the people packed together before him. He called the Campbell's name, but if Finley heard, he paid it no attention, and Skye was quickly left behind. Finley burst through the final few ranks, not caring if he hurt or affronted anyone. No one objected. Finley's reputation as a swordsman and a crazy bastard was well known throughout the underground. He stood face to face with Evangeline, and she met his gaze unflinchingly. Finley took her by the arm and pulled her a little away from the Esper leaders. She went with him unresistingly, but her face never changed.
Why are you doing this, Evie? Why are you going away and leaving me?
I'm not leaving you. I'm just going on a mission. I'll be back before the year's out. My position as ambassador is only temporary, until the council can decide which of them will replace me.
Why did they choose you?
Because I asked them. I wanted to go. I need to get away from things for a while. I've done too much, been involved in too much. I owe too many commitments to too many people, and I can't keep them straight in my head anymore. Leaving Golgotha will give me time to think. It's been a long time since I could just be myself, with no responsibilities to anyone but myself.
You don't have to go to do that. We can leave the underground, be together, just the two of us. I'm here only because you are.
That might have been true once, but not anymore. You said yourself you need the action, the blood and slaughter of the missions they give you.
None of that means more to me than you. You're the heart that beats in my breast, the air in my mouth. I can't live without you.
Yes, you can. For a while. I need this, Finley. I need... I don't know what I need, but it isn't here. Adrienne helped me to see that.
Finley nodded grimly.
I might have known she'd be at the back of this. She's never happy unless she's screwing up my life.
No, Finley. This was my decision. I need to get away from the subsystems, my father.
And me?
That too. Nothing's really going to change. We hardly ever see each other anyway. I have my duties, and you're always off on one of your missions.
That can change. I can change. What do you want from me?
Your understanding. I still love you, Finley. I'll always love you, no matter where I am or you are. But I can't go on like this. It's tearing me apart, and I can't stand it anymore. I have to take some control of my life. Don't fight me on this, Finley. It's important to me.
He took a deep breath and nodded abruptly.
Then it's important to me, too. Go. I'll manage.
He opened his arms to her, and she came into them. And for a long time they stood together, blind to the outside world. Finley held her close, like a drowning man. And if his strength hurt her, she never said. He could feel tears prickling his eyes, but he wouldn't let them out.
What am I going to do without you, Evie?
You'll find something to keep yourself busy. You swore a blood oath, remember? On your name and honor, to avenge Jenny Psycho and what was done to her, to put an end to Silo 9 and the system that produced it. Now the Council has seen what you can do. They'll give you more important work in the underground, if you ask them.
Maybe.
He pushed her gently away and looked searchingly into her eyes.
You do what you need to do, Evie. That's all that matters in the end. But I still wish they could have chosen someone else.
Everyone else was too important, too well-connected, or too busy. The only use they had for me was my influence over my father and to keep you in line. My father and I have become estranged. And I promised the council you wouldn't be a problem. Don't make a liar out of me. They chose me because I have proven diplomatic skills, and because I'm entirely expendable. I was the perfect candidate.
We seem fated to be kept apart. Someday, when all this is over, maybe we'll be able to have a simple, everyday life together like everyone else. I'd like that.
Yes. So would I.
There was a sudden commotion behind them, as everyone turned to look at someone who just entered the chamber. An excited babble began as the crowd recognized who it was. There was cheering and applause, and a name ran through the crowd, growing louder and louder, from a chant to a roar to a battle cry. Jenny Psycho. Jenny Psycho. Jenny Psycho.
Oh, hell. Just what we need. More complications.
Jenny Psycho, who used to be called Diana Virtue, but had mostly forgotten that, was short and blonde with a pale face, dominated by sharp blue eyes. She had a large mouth and a smile that showed more teeth than humor. Once she'd been just another low-level Esper like so many others, but then the Underground had planted her in the notorious Esper prison Silo 9 to be their agent. The uber-Esper Mater Mundi had manifested through her to blow the place apart. Jenny had been touched by greatness, transformed by the Mater Mundi's fleeting presence, and since her escape from Wormboy Hell, she'd become a new major force in the Underground. She'd taken the codename for her own, and entered Esper politics with a vengeance. Wherever she went, a small crowd of fanatical followers went with her, and they were with her now, scowling at anyone who dared to get too close. Finley sometimes wondered whether she was a political force or a religious icon. Perhaps she wasn't sure herself. Certainly her popularity had been growing in leaps and bounds of late. It must have, if someone as disinterested as Finley had noticed it. Having made one of her usual unexpected and highly dramatic entrances, Jenny Psycho pressed forward, and the crowd opened up before her, as though pushed back by the sheer force of her personality. She'd become one of the most powerful Espers the Underground had ever known, and you could feel it in her presence. It all but crackled on the air around her, a palpable force that was part charisma and part enigma. A rabble-rouser, a cunning politician, and a tireless warrior for Esper rights and wrongs. She was respected, worshipped, and adored by the many, and watched very carefully by the Esper leaders. She was also just a little crazy, but people made allowances. No one expected saints to be normal. She had been touched by our Mother of All Souls, and with the Mater Mundi currently quiet and unavailable, people were willing to settle for the next best thing. She stopped at the front of the crowd before the Esper leaders and smiled unpleasantly, as though she could see past the images they projected to the real people beneath. Who knew? Maybe she could. Evangeline leaned in close beside Finley.
If I'd known she was going to turn out to be such a pain in the ass, I'd have thought twice about springing her from Silo 9.
Finley shrugged.
She preaches direct action, and that's a popular stance to take these days. And she was a focus for the Mater Mundi.
So were you and I, and we're no crazier now than we were before, though admittedly it's hard to tell in your case.
Finley smiled despite himself, and made himself concentrate on Jenny Psycho as she began speaking. She had a harsh, unattractive voice. She damaged her vocal cords screaming in Wormboy Hell. It didn't matter. When she spoke, you had to listen. You had to.
I'm back again, people! Make the most of me while I'm here. The Empire threw me into Silo 9 and put a worm in my head to control me. But with the Mater Mundi's help, I broke out. You can break out too. Work with me and we can all become more than we are. No one can compel me now. Not even the worm they left in my head. The Council said taking it out would kill me. But I don't believe that anymore. Watch. And learn!
She pushed her long golden hair back behind her ears so that her face could be clearly seen. She put a hand to her forehead and frowned, as though listening or concentrating. Her left temple bulged outward suddenly, and the skin broke, splitting apart. Blood ran down Jenny's face, but she ignored it. There was a sharp cracking sound, and the bone of her skull broke apart at the left temple. Something small and gray and bloody crawled out of the crack and fell into Jenny's waiting hand. It pulsed and twitched feebly, a genetically engineered horror that existed only to imprison and torture captive minds. Jenny closed her hand around the worm and crushed it with one swift gesture. Blood and gray pulp oozed through her fingers. Jenny opened her hand and let what was left fall to the ground. The crowd went mad, cheering and applauding and stamping their feet. Jenny Psycho began to speak again, but Finley wasn't listening. He appreciated the theater of what she'd done, but distrusted her message. The call to direct action was all very well and fine. He'd raised it himself on more than one occasion. But there was nothing of strategy or planning in Jenny's call. All the Underground had to do was trust in her and the Mater Mundi, and all would be well. And the crowd believed that because they wanted to. She promised strength and revenge and glory, and everything else the beaten down craved so desperately. Finley looked out over the cheering crowd and wasn't impressed. Drowning men will clutch at any straw.
Deathstalker Rebellion is a Defiance Audio production. Copyright 1996, Simon R. Green. Directed by Rick Rowan and produced in the studios of the Cutting Corporation. Production copyright 2003, Listen and Live Audio Incorporated and the Cutting Corporation. Red shirts in this episode were performed by Mort Shelby. The Deathstalker theme was composed and performed by Norman Vanderslice. If you enjoyed Deathstalker, you'll want to check out our futuristic warfare series, Battletech. And for our complete catalog, call 1-800-653-9400.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.